Let's all stand and give the Lord some praise this morning. I don't know about y'all, but he's worthy of every breath. He's worthy of every word. And he deserves all the praise and the glory this morning. Let's raise our hands and give praise to our Father this morning.
Days may be dark, but your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher with power to save, with power to save. From
You are baking. I'm no longer a slave. not even going to play this. I just want everyone in here to sing this for me.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. And I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. And I am a child of God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, how many of you are thankful to be a child of God? Come on. A child of God. Not everybody's one, you know. Not everybody's a child of God until you're grafted in. Come on. Grafted in through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we're God's creation, but we're not a child of God until we're grafted in through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, it's amazing to be alive at this point in time on planet Earth. You could have been alive at any other time, but you're alive now. Come on. Touch your neighbor in case they're not aware of this. You're alive now. Come on. You're alive. And for that reason, you know what? God has purpose. God has a destiny assigned to all of our lives. Today I'm excited because I'm no longer worried about a kidney stone. It's gone. Come on. It's gone. Amen. It's gone. He still moves stones, don't he? Amen. He still moves them. He didn't move it the way I wanted him to, but guess what? Nevertheless, he moved it. How many of you believe that doctors are a gift from God? Come on. They are. When Paul was traveling on the mission field, I remember one place where he wrote. He said, only Luke is with me. I wonder why he carried Luke. Dr. Luke, come on. Grab your bag. We're going on a mission trip, all right? So I love doctors. I love nurses. Man, had a great team of people to help me get freed. The greatest nurse I had was my wife. She took care of me. Thank God for Pastor Joy. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Can we go back to that part of new wine? Because I was thinking as I was standing there in the crushing. Come on, somebody. In the waiting. I went through the crushing this week. You know, I went under the crush machine. And God is doing something new, not just in me, but look around you today. God is doing something new in all of us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Listen, say this about yourself. The Lord has anointed me. Come on, the Lord has anointed me. He's anointed me to do what? To proclaim good news. You say, well, that was about Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is doing the talking. But he said, greater works than these, come on, shall you do because I'm going to my Father. Man, I'm going to get excited right here this morning. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Are there brokenhearted people out here today? Absolutely. I'm brokenhearted that one, two, three, four people in our region just this past week or so have died from overdoses. You know, young people that are trying to deal with brokenheartedness. Come on, let's be honest. They're trying to deal with bruised situations. I told my wife yesterday, riding down the road, I said, you know, there's really only one piece. No, I was talking to Zach. Excuse me, baby. Joy was off yesterday in one direction. I was in another. I was talking to Zach, and I said, Zach, the reality of it is this. There's really only one way to peace. You can't drink peace. You can't snort peace. You can't shoot up peace. You can't. You can only find peace through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. The only way. There's no other way. And my heart's ache. I'm so sorry for what happened to these families. And so, Lord, right now, would you touch these families, Lord, who are grieving the loss? Their loved ones just didn't lie down like an Old Testament saint, living out their days and go on to their destiny. Their lives were cut short. And Lord, that's a reality that we all have to face today. Their lives were cut short too soon, because perhaps they were crushed. Perhaps they were brokenhearted. Perhaps they were bruised. But you've said to us that you sent us, the children of God, the ones who don't have to walk in fear. You sent us to bring good news to those who were captive. You said to proclaim freedom for those who were bound up and release darkness for those who were in prison. And you said to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. God, thank you for that year of favor where you burst on the scene on planet Earth and God became flesh. Jesus Christ walked the earth, lived, breathed, healed, declared free, and died on the cross of Calvary so that we might be free people, so that we might know the way of peace. I speak that peace today over everyone who's listening, not just in this building, but on our online campus. Lord, bless those people who are watching. Bless those who just tuned in just to be inquisitive, wonder what Carpenter Shop is like. Father, would you introduce them today to your presence? It's really bigger than us. It's really bigger than us. So much bigger than us. Let them find that in the crushing, there is new wine to be experienced. In Jesus' name. He says to comfort all who mourn. We're going to sing it again in a moment. To provide for those who grieve. Bless their hearts, Lord. Those who grieve in Zion. To bestow on them a crown of beauty. Can we ever have life again after we lose our son or lose our daughter? Can we ever have life again after our business is bankrupt? Can we ever have life after I've gone through a divorce? Can we ever have life after my son got in a head-on collision? The answer is what? Yes. We can have new life. Why? Because Jesus is life, and he's the one who heals the brokenhearted. Come on. He sets those who are bruised and bound up at liberty. He's the Christ, the Messiah. He's the one we proclaim today. He gives us the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. Amen. And then he says, I'll tell you what, you'll be called the oaks of righteousness. You'll stand tall again and firm. You'll be like oaks of righteousness to display what? The Lord's splendor. The Lord's splendor. You know, when we're crushed sometimes, you know, I remember as a kid, I grew up in a little town of Hertford, North Carolina. My dad was a carpenter. My dad made things out of wood. They were talented people, him and his brother. My dad was an insurance salesman for Jefferson Pilot Insurance, and my uncle was a tremendously gifted craftsman, and he decided with a vision to open a business in the back of my granddad's country store, just a little spot, probably 100 square feet. But he had a scroll saw and a planer and a few tools, and he went in that shop, and he invited my dad to leave the pressures of the insurance business and join him on a journey of building a cabinet shop. And that's what they did. And they grew from a cabinet shop with custom-made furniture. They grew to a furniture business. And I remember things that they made to go along with things that they purchased. And one of them were plaques. They made just wall plaques, simple things. A piece of wood with fancy moldings. And in the middle of those plaques, they were so simple. Today, you probably wouldn't even buy one. But those plaques were made, and little fancy things were carved into the moldings. They did their own moldings. And then in the middle of it, they would put a cluster of grapes. And I thought, today that would be silly, but in those days, they sold tons of those things. Just a wall plaque with a beautiful cluster of grapes. How many of y'all have seen grapes on the vine? Aren't they beautiful? And you walk up to them. There's a vine right over here on the side of the property that doesn't belong to us. And we used to go over when we kids were in the parsonage and we lived here. We'd go over and eat some of Mr. Hill's grapes. They were beautiful. But have you ever seen a picture of a bunch of crushed grapes? No. They only display the cluster because there's the beauty. But the real treat is where? is inside. And you don't get to enjoy the real treat until the crushing comes. Amen? Until the squeezing comes. Nobody ever displays that. And when you are being crushed and the juice is coming out of you, sometimes you feel like it's over. Can I just tell you today, it's not over. It's not over. You're going to hear a word today from a preacher that has a wonderful story about how God took him as a human being, created in his image and likeness, and crushed him. In the crushing, in the pressing, what are you doing, God? You're making new wine. If you're being crushed right now in any kind of way and you just feel like, God, I just need a break, would you just come and stand in his presence as Brittany sings this song again? Let me just pray a corporate prayer over you before we attend ourselves to the word today. In the crushing, in the pressing, what are you doing, God? You're making new wine. In the soil, I do what? I now surrender. You are breaking in my life brand new ground. How many of you are ready for that today? Come on, step out of your seat as she sings it today, and let's concentrate on what we're singing. Amen. Listen to the words.
There is new power. There is.
Lord. Praise for making new wine today. Come on. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. We thank you, God, that Paul said in his word, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are nothing to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Father, you're making new wine. Let us not despise hardship. Let us not despise difficulty. Let us not despise discipline, correction, reproof, rebuke. Let us not despise any of these things, God, because you are making new wine out of us. Help us to pour out. Help us to pour out on a needy world. Help us to pour out on a bruised world, a discouraged world, a world in despair. Out of the newness of wine that you create in us. Glory to glory, day after day, moment after moment. We submit ourselves afresh and anew to you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Come on, clap your hands one more time. You can be seated in his presence. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. It's not always easy to welcome the crushing, is it? It's not always easy. Praise the Lord. Father, we bless you today and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, for your mercy that endures forever. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to worship you. We pray, Lord, that not only in this facility, but all across the globe, Lord, that you would take what we do today, take what we share today, and touch hearts and lives. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have an opportunity today to give in our tithes and our offerings. We're not passing buckets. They're on the altar. And as the next announcement comes, if you just feel free to stand up and just come and present your offering to the Lord. Pray for us on Friday afternoon, about 2:00 Eastern time. We get a chance to preach from this house to 182 nations live on Zoom on King Television. So would you please pray for that effort this week? 182 nations listening live to 15 minutes of Jesus. Amen. 15 minutes of presenting the gospel. And so God opened that door for us just this past week, and we'll be praying about that. And I'll be on with two or three other people in ministry across the U.S., and together we'll be ministering the gospel on King Television Network, 182 nations. Our service right now is live in 182 nations. Can you believe that? 182 nations watching from a little town in Ahoskie, North Carolina. God is good, isn't he? He's good. So God bless you as you give today through your tithes and offerings. Avail yourself to the buckets and feel free to come. Praise the Lord. Thank God for pastors. Amen. In the month of October, I have pastors in my life who speak into my life on a regular basis, and I thank God for what they do. Thank you for the privilege of serving you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for availing yourself to worship, to be here, and to visit us online whenever you can't be here. Today's an important day because we are making kind of a transitional shift. Today, when our kids came in, they came in and went straight to kids' worship. So 3 to 7-year-olds are up doing their thing in the upper level, and we thank God for a team of people who are volunteering and serving in that capacity. We open up Wednesday night. Somebody say Wednesday night. Wednesday night for midweek Bible study, and all kids ministries are opening up on Wednesday night. So we promise to be safe. We promise to be wise in what we do and taking every precaution that we have availed to us. So let's just pray for that opportunity. We are doing small group ministries in different ways. I'll be speaking to you for a few moments on Wednesday night starting this week. Next week, Pastor Mike Blow will be attacking the parables of the Lord Jesus, the parables, those stories that Jesus told as he walked the Galilee area. And so those parables will be taught on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Also, the following week, Mary takes up where she left off in the book of Romans. About 15 or 20 of you guys were involved in Romans at that time. She'll take up where she left off and go through the book of Romans on Monday night. Other opportunities that will be arising, we'll let you know through social media, and just pay attention. Also, tomorrow is the day to do what? To leap into love. Amen. This is for women. This is a Leap into Love study that is 20 days long for women, Monday through Friday. You get a little bit of chance to rest on the weekend. And it starts tomorrow with Elaine. Elaine, would you please stand up and give them a big wave this morning? She's our one who does all of our great photography and what have you. So she's managing, stewarding, presenting Leap into Love. And for those of you who ladies who have signed up, if you signed up already, would you please stand right now? If you're a lady who signed up for Leap into Love, praise God. We have about 35 people that have signed up already. God bless you. Monday through Friday. And for those of you who say, you know what, I'd love to do it, but I'm kind of taken on those commitments. My weeks are kind of challenging, or I don't have Wi-Fi, or I don't have a computer, or I don't have a smartphone. We're making it a little bit easier for you because on Friday, somebody say Friday, Friday, 9 o'clock in the morning, you can just come out to the church and go to the cafe and experience Leap into Love in person. It'll be kind of a quick run of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in one spot there with Elaine at the CSIC Cafe on Friday mornings, 9 o'clock, Leap into Love. And hey, you need to pick up your mug, okay? Register, go to the hallway, and Pastor Joy will help you with that at the close of the service. Praise the Lord. This morning I woke up thinking about mission, thought about mission in my own life and how God has uniquely, you know, Joy and I were laughing at a couple of things that we were talking about from days gone by. We just would burst out laughing about the things that we did and how God made provision. We were thinking about today. We were talking about on the way to church what we were going to eat tonight. Do y'all do that? We were talking about, what do you want to eat tonight? Amen. Joy said, you know what? The weather feels so good. I'm thinking about...
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm thinking about maybe I got something coming that I don't know anyway. We're talking... She said, I think the weather feels like sausage balls. Come on, anybody? Sausage balls in a pot of soup. So don't come over to my house this evening or anything like that, but just know that sausage balls and a pot of soup are what the Phillips family's doing this evening. Amen. And it caused us to talk about cheese. Cheese. In the early days when we pastored a small church in Northampton County, I worked for a food brokerage company stationed in Raleigh, and we literally gave away hundreds and hundreds of pounds of cheese every week. And so we found that you can freeze cheese, okay? So we had so much cheese, we gave it away all over the community. We started freezing cheese. And so we were talking about today, well, we've got some cheese in the freezer. So that's how that discussion came up. You know, we talked about the old days, not today, the old days 40 years ago when we were just starting out pastoring, and how God used cheese to be a blessing to us. We thought about our own mission, how we got started, all the steps that God has afforded us to take to where we are today. God's been so good to us. He has. He's kept us every step of the journey. He's taught us. He's taught us. We've had a juice squeezed out of us more than one time. Amen. Sometime it was sour too. Amen. But God taught us through everything. And guess what he's still doing? He's still teaching us. We want to be pliable and teachable in his hands. And so I thought about my own mission today, Kevin, as I woke up. Today I want to hear through the preaching of the word of God a little about your mission. I'm so glad to have the Thompsons back with us today. Kevin and Mariah, would you welcome them again to Carpenter Shop International Church?
So glad to be back here at Carpenter Shop International Church, Pastor Wallace, here in Ahoskie, Eastern North Carolina. So it's Pastor Appreciation Month, October, and the first Sunday of Pastor Appreciation, he gives his pulpit up. That says a whole lot, doesn't it? I don't know what it says, but it says a whole lot. Amen. Amen. I'm just excited to be here today, and I want to share with you a little bit, briefly, before I get started with what I prepared today, what the Lord had impressed on my heart, due to the worship music and due to what Pastor Wallace was talking about earlier. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus was talking. He took the scroll of Isaiah. He stood up in front of everybody, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he started to talk about the anointing of God to set the captives free, to free those in chains, and to free those who have been oppressed. And he said something, and it struck me, and I've read it a dozen times, and it struck me today. Jesus says here in this passage to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. Has 2020 been a year of favor for anyone? In this particular passage, Jesus was talking about something. He was talking about favor towards those who have been oppressed. Favor towards those who have been stricken with something. So you must know what something good looks like and something bad. There must be a contrast. It says in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham, against all hope and hope, believed. 2020 may not have been a year of favor, but we know the one that keeps hope alive, yes? It may not be a year of favor to you, but you must go through these pressing times and against all hope when it seems like things are not going to get better, when it seems like the economy is still down, that we know the one that keeps hope alive, that these are not just words that we chant in a service, but they are deep within our soul. Because he lives within us. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, it talks about a shaking. It says, "Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also, that only that which is unshakable will remain." And the things that he is shaking out of us, using the trying time of 2020 as it is, the things that we're going through, the pressing, he's shaking things out of our lives. Things that we try to crowd God out with. And for some reason, the enemy has come in and left something remaining, and it's technology. And that is the main thing that is shaking God out of our lives today. We are overcrowded with things that pollute our time and our energy and our resources. And there is a shaking that is taking place. God is saying, your time management is poor, so I shake out the gym. So I shake out the things that you do every day. I close the restaurants that you covet after church on Sunday. I'm shaking something. We got to recognize it. And I like this because it transitions directly into what I'm going to talk about today. That God has put a message in my heart and a passion for discipleship, and a passion for the people of Cameroon, Central Africa. God says, I'm going to use you, Kevin, in this way. The people in the United States are going through a very trying time. They're going through a difficult season. A problem exists there. You need to go and encourage and comfort these people, because when you get to Cameroon, it's double. When you get to these people that don't speak your language, that don't look like you. Their culture is completely contrary to everything you know. It's going to be double. They're going through something. Mass spread persecution. And they need you. But first, Noah had to spend a lot of time building the ark, right? There's something you must learn here. I enjoy the Assemblies of God World Mission because they don't discount the American church or say that you're doing it wrong. They use you in partnership with missionaries like myself to go to the utmost parts of the earth. And that me and Mariah, as we've traveled during coronavirus, during 2020, me and Mariah were commissioned in 2019. Coronavirus came like a thief in the night. We had plans and ambitions and desires to do things for the kingdom of God here so that we may get there and do the things that he's called us to do there. But we had neglected what we needed to do here. It is important and imperative for us to enjoy the season that we are in, despite the shaking and the pressing that God has done in our lives. God has done this numerous times to me. I'm a Teen Challenge graduate, if anyone's heard of Teen Challenge. I was with Pastor Eric Earhart just a few weeks ago over there at Upper Room Assembly, not too far from here, right down the road. I was there speaking at his church, and me and him have a very similar story. And turns out, he came from here. Well, he really came from prison, but amen. Sometimes we don't like to recognize what God is doing in our lives. Me, I don't know if it's just who I am or my past or my background, but I really don't care for the 11th hour thing. I don't like it that God shows up in the 11th hour after I've been through all of this stuff and he just delivers. And he's so faithful to do such. But I don't like it. This week, I was going through a very trying time. Our schedule has been a mess. We've had things happen, medical expenses and all kinds of stuff has been happening in our lives, and it's really disrupted what we had planned. And I just never thought I would shake it, never thought I would get through it. I've been exhausted, spiritually, physically, emotionally exhausted. And as I stand here in this chapel during worship, God shows up right before I come up here. I'm in shambles, shaken. I don't know what I'm going to do, don't know what I'm going to say. I've done this 100 times. And God shows up because he's so faithful in the 11th hour to deliver us in the midst of our shaking. So I'm a Teen Challenge graduate, and while I was at one time lost and depraved and covered in addictions and sin, God delivered in what would seem like the 11th hour in my own life. At 12 years old, I began to use drugs. By 15, I was using alcohol. By 17 years old, I was living with a girl in sin, living with her, and my life continued to spiral out of control with God completely out of the picture. My mother, a Christian, believing woman, she got saved when I was just a baby, and my whole life, she tried to push her Jesus on me, and I wanted nothing to do with it. I saw what Christians represented. I saw what they were in my own life. Hypocrites. No one likes that word. But it was the only descriptive word I knew for a Christian. My mother married a pastor, and 15 days later, he was nowhere to be found. He left. It got too pressing for him. This is what I saw in my own life. Christians that represented Christians, not Jesus. They represented what Christianity had become. I wanted nothing to do with it. I said, I can be a moralist on my own and probably be better off than a lot of the Christians I'd met. And probably be a better person. And probably do more for the areas around us, like in Africa, water conservation projects and things like that. I could do those things on my own without Christ. And I saw what Christianity represented. I wanted nothing to do with it. And so at 22 years old, I moved 2,700 miles away from front door to front door to sunny Long Beach, California for one purpose. I like to tell people it was for this or for that. But on my travels and my journey since then, I've determined It was for one purpose that I moved from Sanford, North Carolina, where I'm from, to Long Beach, California, and that was to get away from Jesus. A real Jonah story. I fled to get away from Jesus. But there is something that kept me. I believe it was a praying mother. There's a Christian musician. He said something to the effect of this. He says, "My mother's prayers are stronger than any army." My mother prayed for me every day. Not only that I would come to the faith, but that I would serve God wholeheartedly and do the things that she always wanted to do. She always wanted to go to Bible college. She always wanted to be a missionary. She always wanted to do these things. And I spit in her face and I cursed at her, told her she was crazy. She was going to move me at 12 years old away from all of my friends to go live in another country. No way. And I moved all this way to get away from Jesus, and she prayed for me continuously every day. It says in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30 that God looked to and fro upon the earth for someone to stand in the gap that he would not destroy a nation. I tell you, his response was he found no one. And many people that you meet today that have drug addictions, that are homeless, that are ravaged by sin, those four individuals who passed away in this county of overdose, as drug addicts, they get very accustomed to burning bridges and destroying relationships. And their loved ones get tired of it. Mine did. Get tired of dealing with it. I'm done. I'm going to stop helping him. I'm going to stop enabling him. And when they do that, they also stop praying. And we cannot do that. Because God in Ezekiel 22, when he says that he found no one, he destroyed that nation. And your prayers are effective for tearing down strongholds in people's lives. And you will not only see them come from drug addiction, but you will be praying and ushering in the next generation of pastors, small group leaders, worship leaders, and missionaries like myself. We must not forget to pray for those who seem to have no hope. I learned this lesson while I was in the Teen Challenge program, that we must pray for those who seem hopeless. And it says in Romans chapter 10 that they cannot hear unless we preach. And we cannot preach unless we are sent. That there are those all over the earth that do not have an adequate representation of the gospel, that do not have someone to speak to them on behalf of God and teach them the things of God, that they are, in effect, hopeless as well. My heart began to break. I stayed up late from 10 to 11 o'clock at night, late for some, early for others. For me, as I was coming out of drug addiction, this was late. So I stayed up at this time of night to pray for a different country within the 10:40 window every night. This 10:40 window is an area of the earth that is hostile to the gospel, where you will be imprisoned for carrying this book. The same book that we have 300 translations on our phones today. The same book. I was reading a story of a missionary. And when he was in the country, he began to turn away from the things of God. And he was placed into prison. And while in prison, he was assigned to clean the latrine, the area where people use the restroom. And he went in there and he cleaned and he found a piece of paper. Turns out it was a piece of the Gospel of John. And he began to read this piece of paper. And the next day he asked, "Can I please clean the latrine?" And every day as he went to clean the latrine, it turns out there was a guard who was using the bathroom and wiping himself with the Bible and throwing it away. And he was gathering them and cleaning them off. In reading the scriptures. And joy came. Not joy. Do we have joy when we have this book? How many of us have many copies of this in our house? I tell you, if you can teach children's church in an American church, you are more than equipped to do work in other countries where they don't even know the name of Jesus. God has called me to this. He gave me a passion for these people. Urgency is there. There is an urgent need to go to the utmost parts of the earth and proclaim the things that you believe. There is a necessity. People ask me oftentimes, why would you not stay here? There are lost people here in America. There's lost people in North Carolina. And I tell them the answer is simple. Accessibility. The people in America, there's a church on every corner. There's opportunity to listen. And they know, many of our loved ones in addiction, they know exactly who they can turn to. When things get rough, they can go to their praying grandmother. They can go to somebody that they know. When I was lost and hopelessly addicted to drugs, I attempted suicide. I was in the hospital. When I got out, there was a man. He gave me a book. It was called Hope and Anchor for the Soul. I read through this book cover to cover. I accepted Jesus Christ on April 28th of 2015. Just a baby in the faith. I accepted Christ. He gave me this book. And I went to this man, the only man that I knew that could teach me what I needed to know to leave behind my drug addiction, to leave behind the things of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. I needed someone to teach me. So I went to this man. His name was Pastor Greg. It was my mother's pastor. A pastor I had previously threatened, physically and verbally, threatened. Spit in his face, cursed at him. And I went and I told him, what must I do to be saved? I had already accepted Christ, but I couldn't shake the chains that bound me. And he said, I know exactly what you need. Discipleship. Discipleship. It seems so easy. We hear this word often. It seems very easy. But we can become desensitized to these things or Christianized to them. Oh, discipleship, that's small group study. That's not what it is. It was intimacy. I needed someone to walk beside me, to hold the handlebars as I rode by on a bicycle for the first time. To learn to stand on my own. You don't learn to drive a car by reading the manual in the glove box. You need someone right beside you, holding your hand and helping you intimately. I found value in this. Discipleship. I went to the Teen Challenge program. While I was in the program, I met a wonderful brother of mine. He's now the pastor of a church in Rocky Mount, which is actually awesome. He told me something for the first time. He had a map on his wall, a Voice of the Martyrs map. Never seen it before. Never heard about it. Never knew anything about it. And he read me a verse of scripture. And at this time, I had been in the program for quite some time, and the Word of God was relevant to my life, but I knew the things that I should pass over and the things that were not that important to me and the things that applied to my life. But he read something to me. And I realized whenever we read the scripture, or whenever a speaker comes and reads the scripture, and they tell you the verse, they say, oh, we're going to be in John chapter 3. You say, oh, I know exactly where he's going. And you become desensitized. You have a preconceived notion about what he's going to say. So I'm not going to tell you where this verse is, but I'm going to read it, and I guarantee you'll be able to find it. Matthew 28. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Jesus always answers our doubt, yes? Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I've read this numerous times. But that day when he read it to me, it hit me like a ton of bricks. That this is a command, this is something that we should be doing, and I'm not comfortable not doing it. Now, many are called to go to the utmost parts of the earth, but some are not. We can't group everyone into one category and say that the others are in sin. We can't say we're all called to go because the scripture says otherwise. We're all called to disciple. There's a distinction here. We are all called to disciple. I have a wonderful friend of mine. His website just went up and running, and it says, we disciple disciples who disciple disciples. That's what it is. That's what it's all about, training. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be able to teach others. 2 Timothy 2:2. But this scripture, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I said, Lord, what must I do? Where must I go? How will you use me? I was addicted to methamphetamine. I was living in an abandoned garage before I came to know Christ. How will you use me? That seems impossible, illogical. God, what would you do with me? And I don't know if it was ignorance or obedience, but I said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Let me go to the hard place. A willing vessel for the glory of God. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So he can use me. And I can read these scriptures and I can have other people tell them to me, but I needed to know it for myself. So I dug in the scriptures, and I said, is there an example of this? Someone totally depraved, God using in a mighty way? And it turns out there's more than one. It's kind of full of it, which is pretty good. And God continued to lead me in that, but I needed an example that was radical. Something that I could really cling to. Something that was kind of close to what I was doing and kind of close to what I wanted to do in the future. And God led me to a passage of scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to get started now. Amen. Every good preacher has more than one introduction. I just gave you all of them at once, is all that happened. Amen. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, picking up in verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus may display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. His immense patience as an example. That God can use me, a tattooed missionary, in the utmost parts of the earth, just because I was willing to go and forsake everything that I know and love and cherish. Jesus says in Luke 14:33, if you do not give up everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:33, it's written in red. It's highlighted for you. If you don't give up everything, you cannot be my disciple. I had heard many ministers preach a message about the rich young ruler and say things to the effect of, you can have all of your stuff and Jesus too. But the Bible says otherwise. Jesus says in Luke 12:15, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. These scriptures I've memorized because they're real in my own life. It's not something that I've read a dozen times and whatever stuck to the wall. It's the things that resonated in my own heart. Because God has given me a grace and a mercy that he may not have given you. And that's okay. But I tell you, there are some in this room that God is calling to the mission field. And it's going to be a pressing time. There's going to be some shaking involved. But God is calling you, and you must go. And for the rest of you, if God is calling you to stay, much like he did the church in Antioch in Acts chapter 13, we must be faithful to send those who have been called to go. Missions has been done many different ways, but we are Assemblies of God. And since 1914, Assemblies of God has sent missionaries in this way, that those who stay behind send those who go. It says in John, in 3 John, to send those on their way in a manner worthy of God. And that we will be fellow workers with the truth when we send them on their way. That God has called us to something. To support those who go and to be faithful to go to where he calls. Me and Mariah, in our hometown where we were staying, God has used us in many different ways. But we believe wholeheartedly, if we will not do the work here, then don't give us your money. Don't send us, because we're not going to do it there either. We served in homeless shelters. We gave out food. We discipled many individuals and families. We did evangelism. We did all kinds of things in order to prove to ourselves, really, not to anyone else, to ourselves that God can use us in these ways. To prove to ourselves that we can be faithful with a little. Because God forbid he send us to a place and we do not do the work that he has called us to do. We needed practice. We needed people to encourage us and to help us. I'm 29. She's 27. Very young in the faith. We both got saved in 2015. We need those to encourage us and to come alongside us and undergird us. Doubt comes in. Worry comes in. Anxiety comes in. And as we partner with individuals and churches, right now we have around 20 churches that are supporting us monthly, financially and prayerfully. The Apostle Paul, in Colossians chapter 4, he asked the church in Colossae to pray for him. Pray that he would boldly proclaim the message as he ought, and pray that open doors would come. We need people to come alongside us, to pray for us faithfully. Every day, just a moment of your time, lifted up on behalf of two missionaries who God has called to go to Cameroon, Central Africa, who have no idea what we're doing, but we're trusting God is faithful. He is faithful. Pray that I don't put my foot in my mouth every time I get on stage. Pray that pastors will open their doors to us so we can travel, so that we can itinerate and raise our budget to go to Africa. Pray that the people in Africa will be warm and welcoming to us. Adoniram Judson, famous missionary to Burma, he said, if you suffer without success, someone will succeed after you. But if you succeed without suffering, it is because someone has suffered before you. And we stand on the shoulders of many missionaries who have gone before us, paving the way for us to get to Africa. And we stand for a new generation, a generation of young people, millennials, God forbid the term, millennials who will go because God has simply called them, not knowing what it'll look like or how it will go. God told me while I was in the Teen Challenge program that I would spend the rest of my life in Africa. I can't clarify that enough. And I tell my wife over and over, we have to count the cost, because whether short or long, we must go. Whether we're there for 2 weeks or 30 years or 50 years, whatever it is, we must go. But we need people with us. We need partners. The Assemblies of God has called us to go and to share this message, not only our passion for discipleship, but our heart for missions, that it may become contagious to you. We meet churches and pastors and individuals who don't know anything about missions at all. And when we speak to them, it becomes contagious. It rubs off on them. And we need people who will be faithful to pray for us. And we need people to prayerfully consider supporting us on a monthly basis. Because money is what gets us to Africa, but prayer keeps us there. Prayer keeps us there. We want people who are emotionally connected to their dollar. You work hard for your money, and we want you to actually care about where it goes. We want you to actually be concerned about what we're doing in our day-to-day life, to actually be concerned about the people that we're reaching, to actually be concerned about the things that we are saying, and not just write us off as a line item, and not just chalk us up to the Netflix account. We're not on the same level. This is God's work, and it must be done. But it's done by you through us. We accept that. We acknowledge that. We revel in it. We love what God does to the unreached parts of the earth through people who are willing to go. We just ask that you consider us and support missions in some way because they need it. It's a discouraging time. There's a shaking happening all over the earth. And we can't do it alone. There's a proverb in Africa. It says, if you wish to go fast, go alone. But if you wish to go far, go together. A cord of three strands may not be easily broken. And we need you with us in prayer and in spirit, that we can go forth and do what God has called us to do. We just thank you for your time. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your love. We thank you that Carpenter Shop International Church is a multinational, multicultural, just phenomenon. Like, really, it's a phenomenon. And we love to be able to come here to Ahoskie and just rest and relax and be able to minister to the people in this town. We have a good friend of ours. They live not too far from here. And we just love to be able to come and to minister to people, and that people are actually concerned about what we're doing. I thank God for you. We have a new website. It's up and running, fresh, just happened. Capturedforcameroon.com has all of your information about Cameroon, all of your information about me and Mariah, my wonderful wife. It'll tell you anything you need to know about us, what we've done in the past, what we're going to do in the future, and it'll tell you what's going on in Cameroon. It's a dangerous place, but God has called us to go. We don't know what is going to happen when we get there. Things are crazy. Things are crazy all over the earth. But you can check it out, capturedforcameroon.com. You can give online there. You can do all of that fancy stuff because we live in the age of technology. Let's use it. So if you have any questions about me or Mariah or what we got going on, we'll be here. There's a table on the other side of the wall, and we're there for the duration. So just come check us out. We have some free stuff. You can get bracelets. Pastor Wallace got his on. We got bracelets, free stuff. Come check us out. Thank you so much.
You see the light tech back there in the back. His name is Dylan. You have to thank him that I'm wearing your bracelet, because I had a Celebrate Recovery bracelet on that I've worn for about 3 years, and he was cutting my hospital bracelet off because I forgot to cut it off, and I saw him one day this week, and he cut through my other bracelet, so I had to replace it with something. Okay.
Well, I thank you, and I blame you for the other.
Praise God. I don't know about you, but I listened intently for a missions presentation like I've not heard before. Come on, did you get that like I got it? I thank God, man. You had 20 churches supporting you. You have 21 churches supporting you, okay? Amen. Praise God. We want to support you. And you know, usually what I say is, hey, go by the table. You can sign up personally. You can do that, and our church is still going to get credit for that. So what I like to accomplish by doing that is you get a personal connection to Kevin and Mariah, and they get a personal connection back to you. If I say right now, how many of you will give $20 a month? You know, it'd be like an auction sale. You could throw your hands up like that, and then we could say, oh, we've got a $500 pledge per month. But what if you don't pay it? Then we're reduced to nothing. So if you make a personal connection with this missionary at his table, he and his wife, you are more likely to stay committed to that. I'd rather trust that process, because I don't want to put our church in a position where, you know, we promise the moon and then we don't even give a star, okay? But I do ask from time to time, and Pastor Noli's familiar with this, I do ask him from time to time, can we connect with Carpenter Shop and make a commitment? And he's nodding his head to me right now. So you know what that means? That means yes, okay? So, amen. Doesn't take a board meeting. It just takes an administrator who knows what we can handle and what we can't. So he's nodding his head. So you're in. So 21, 22, 23, 24. I don't know how many people will support you. But I'm asking you today to connect with this missionary at the table. You know, don't promise the moon. Don't say, hey, we'll be with you for 20 years. Just say for the next year, we pledge to do our very best to connect with you and help you to get from here to there. I don't know if I'm feeling this. I mean, I just feel like you're in a good spot today, because you did an incredible job of presenting your heart to this congregation. Would you join with me in that? Come on, did he do that? Incredible job. Incredible job. And one other thing that I don't want to miss is our musicians would just come back for a moment. You guys can go ahead to the table. We're going to receive an offering as they sing one more song. If you want to give to missions, maybe for you it's just a one-time thing, and you just like to put something in the bucket for Thompson Missions today, feel free to do that as the worship team begins to sing this last song. But here's what I don't want to miss. There was a prophetic word released during the course of his missions presentation, and he said that, I believe that in Carpenter Shop International Church, there are people whom God has his hand on that he has signaled you out to also make a step of faith into missions. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Or I did hear that correctly, right? He said prophetically, there are people in this room. Listen to me, young people. There are people in this room whom God has spoken to, and you have a missions call on your life. If that's you, would you please give us the honor of just laying a hand on you today and praying for you as they sing? Those of you that want to give to missions, just come and give as they begin to sing. But if you're here today, Pastor, that's me. I know that God has a call in my life for missions. I don't understand it all. Don't expect you to. Maybe you're not a young person. Maybe you're married with kids. You know, when Joy and I responded to do different things in ministry, to pastor a church. We were married, you know? We were married. We had already joined together. So you might be married and say, hey, I don't know what's going on here, but I just feel like God's calling me to missions. If that's you, just come and stand right here in the center. But if you just want to give in the offering, just come as they begin to sing. Stand with us, won't you? God bless you. Online too, you can respond in the comments below.
In the crushing,
you can give online as well.
But all you have given me.
Thank you for new wine. Thank you for the crushing, the waiting, all that you accomplish in us. Thank you for mission today. Thank you, God, for a fresh awakening, God, of purpose and destiny in all of our lives. Maybe not to go, but to send. Lord, thank you that you're causing us to align ourselves, God, with the purpose and passion that you have in the lives of the Thompsons. Thank you for allowing us to be a missions church, fulfilling the Great Commission to go into all the world and proclaim the good news. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, fellowship, on your way out the door today. Have a great, great Sunday and have a wonderful week. Don't forget, Wednesday nights, live ministry in person. God bless you.